destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. What's up? I'm T-Bone. And for the first time in 3 weeks, I can say this. He's Tyvis. Good morning. Go to hell. What's up, man?
What's going on? I was shocked to see that the badge still worked. You know, that was the thing. I was really anticipating. So I was talking to Fish last night. And Fish was, I forgot why he was texting Fish, but he was like, I'll see you bright and early, 4:30 in the morning. We'll have HR there. I said, okay, I'll make sure I bring my badge and my playbook.
Yeah.
And so when I pulled up, I was like, he's not here.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, I'm good to go.
I tried to fool you because I was like, no, he's here. He parked in a different spot. Let's go down. And then, yeah, his office was closed. There was no one there. How was the last 3 weeks, man? Obviously, I know the baby came. Young Tsunami is now with us,
yes.
AKA Baby Trace, his actual name. But yeah, how's Baby Tsunami doing?
You know, he's doing well. Let's take you all the way back. So obviously it was cool.
We don't need to go so far back. That's like, well, it was a nice night. We had just had dinner. My wife started saying nice things in my
sometime
ear.
Sometime long, thing. Long ago.
In a galaxy far, far away, by the way.
No, his arrival was great. It was nice to be in the chat and be able to share that play-by-play with y'all.
It was
kind of fun.
That was incredible. Because I
took it all the way up to before I walked into the room where I couldn't have a phone like on YouTube anymore because they had to focus.
Yeah.
So I rode this thing out as long as I could
the
fans.
Yes, you
so did. That was great. So when he got delivered, what I didn't know is that my wife's OBGYN was like, when they was having like their checkups, she was explaining to her like, yeah, Tyvis doesn't believe that we're having a boy. So her OBGYN named Deidre, she was like, oh. She's like, well, I gotta mess with him a little bit.
Mm.
So when my wife gets rolled back there into the room, she goes, the door closes and she goes, everybody in the office is in on it. We're going to fool Tyvis.
Okay.
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 So I get up there. She delivers the kid and she says, oh my gosh, it's a girl.
Really?
Now at this moment, I'm wearing my boy dad shirt.
Yes.
So it's like,
right.
I'm celebrating the fact that I got a boy. She says, Tyvis. It's a girl. And she's like, I swear it's a girl. So I'm like, for real? Then she goes, no, I'm just kidding. It's a boy.
So man,
in that moment, which I have it all recorded on my phone. So in that moment, my wife was like, oh, you were shaking. I said, yeah, because we never thought of a girl name if it was a girl.
Well, there's
two,
that.
I got this shirt on and I'm going to take it in the parking lot and set a match to it. And three, we have no girl gear because we just donated all our old girls.
Oh, God.
Gear, our clothes.
Can you imagine? You have to go back and buy everything.
I was
everything.
Worried about all that. And then she goes, no, I was just kidding. So that's just, nobody can take nothing serious in this world, T-Bo.
Good. I'm glad to see like, they're like, oh yeah, you had another girl. And you're like, yeah, I'm just
thrilled.
Everything's really
thrilled.
So happy right now.
No, but he's been wonderful. Obviously, you know, when he first got out, he really wasn't eating a lot like that. He just wanted to sleep. Now it's the opposite. He just wants to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's going to get bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I know his dad is, so.
Don't do that.
He likes to eat
don't
like his
that.
Dad. That's how we're going to
do
it. Welcome back, buddy. Welcome back. Yeah, so I have so many questions about how it's been going, but I need to know what the sleep pattern's like right now for you. Where are we at after? I know we've talked to you a few times on your leave, but are we getting like a few hours of sleep? Are we getting 6 to 8 hours of sleep?
So how we were doing it was my wife would take the night shift because my wife is a night owl. She likes to stay up late.
Sure.
And then I wake up early because obviously I do this show. So she would take him from, I would go to bed at like 10:30, 11 o'clock. So from that time she would take over and then I would wake up around 5 o'clock and I would take over around 5 and then she would sleep for like 4 hours.
Okay.
So that's how we was doing that.
Yeah.
Last night, she just took over the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
she was like, right before my alarm went off at 4:45, he had woke up at 4:14. Mm. And she like got up and like was taking care of him and all that and let me sleep. And then while I was walking out the door, he was back asleep. So hopefully she's asleep.
So when you get home today,
yeah,
you're back on.
It's
you, yep. And Trace.
There you go. Pretty much. Yeah.
She's gonna hand him over to you.
He's pretty chill. Like, you give him a bottle, you change. We're at the phase where they just eat and poop and pee.
Yes,
and,
right.
So if they cry, it's they hungry or they diapers wet.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Now that's the other question. I think we learned this the other day when you were talking with when you came on and Joshua was here still.
Yeah.
He got you.
Yes, he did.
He got you in the bathtub.
Yeah, he did. So I dodged the first time. The first time we were, I was down on the in the living room, and he started peeing. And I had the burp rag because I remember Josh said, he's going to pee on you. So he started peeing, and he like, it went to the left. So I took the burp rag and threw it on there. Boom. Shattered, got myself so I didn't get peed on. So I was able to do that one. This other time, we were giving him a bath, and I was showing my wife this very hilarious video on Instagram, and he just peed on me. And she like, oh my God, he's peeing. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, like, but since then, I'm back on my toes.
But then you're like, well, anyway, what'd you think of the video, though? Like, because I know that feeling when you show your spouse a video.
The video was hilarious.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't get the reaction you want.
She was giggling at it. That's the thing.
Well, at least that's worth getting peed on, just to get the reaction.
You learn when you get, when you're married or you're in a relationship, you learn that you and your spouse or you and your partner have two different, what you think is funny is different than what they think is funny.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they send you something and say, this is hilarious. And you look at it and say, what is this? And then vice versa.
Exactly.
That happens all the time with me and my wife.
There's times where my wife will be like howling, cackling on, for 5 minutes straight on the couch, like cannot stop laughing. She'll send it to me and it's like a librarian being like, anyway, the books are out of order. And then it's just, and then it's like her standing next to books that are out of order, and my wife is dying laughing, and I'm like, I get it. The books sometimes are. What am I?
But you feel bad because you want to like chuckle at it. But it's course. Like, I missed it.
It's like there's nothing here. This is, and then she does the same for me. I'll send her stuff, and she thinks it's not funny at all. Usually, it's Jackass videos or what I send her is like the guys from
that
Jackass.
Sounds about right.
That's I love Jackass. The movie's coming out. I can't wait.
They got a movie coming out.
Like Jackass
what
5.
What more can they do?
Oh, I can't wait to find. That's why I'm going to watch, because it's just what kind of idiocy will they do this time?
I mean, they've been doing this for like
25 years.
Yeah.
30 years. Yeah. Since a long time.
Is Steve-O still there?
Steve-O's still there. Sober.
He got to be like 60.
Yeah, I know all these guys are in their like 50s and 60s now, and they're going to be
doing stunts.
Yes. They're all depraved. Some of them are dead. Honestly, there's been a few guys that died.
You know what? They would do the wall of death.
Oh, they would do that. They probably have in a second.
Speaking of movies metal that I didn't think they could do it anymore, I saw Toy Story 5 over the weekend.
You watched it?
Oh, yeah.
How was it?
It was great.
See, Mike.
It's the toys versus the electronics, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's actually a really.
It is a good premise.
Yeah, because that's really what's going on.
Did it? Because I feel like, was it the third one where they say goodbye and you think you're actually like they're actually going to kill
him? I thought the third one was
that
like,
seemed
wait,
like,
what's the third one? That's where he goes to college, right? Andy goes to college
end,
and he gives like, to the girl.
At the end. But is that, the scene Bones talking about is like they almost like
go in the incinerator.
Oh, yeah, and the thing, the claw, the little Martian thing saved him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I honestly thought the third one was the perfect ending, but Disney said, no.
Yeah, I don't
there
remember
needs to be
four.
A fourth one.
And no, that's, then I thought, that's Sporky, right?
Four's with the spork.
Yeah,
the spork thing,
right.
So then,
Woody leaves with Bo at the end and leaves the other toys behind, and I'm like, okay, this was not as good of an ending for the saga, but I get it. And then they're like, no. Number 5 now.
Why?
Woody's back.
And it seems like...
And he's got the cul-de-sac, don't he?
Oh yeah, he's going bald. Sorry, man. When the toys are going bald, I get it. Like I just said, I'm here for Jackass 5, but between Jackass and Toy Story, I think you can pick one of those to go. I don't think my kids want to go see Toy Story because they're like, oh, Toy Story in the theaters. We never really got to do that. Or I mean, like the oldest ones have, but Abby hasn't gotten to. And I'm like, All right, I guess. But for me,
you're not excited to see Toy Story 5?
I'll probably take them to see
it. But you want to go see the Ninja Turtles. You want to go see the Ninja Turtles, the Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah, exactly.
That you've seen a million times.
No, but I never saw it. I did see it in the theater, but I was like, I was 8 or whatever. I want to see it in theater. I went back and saw it.
Bone, you would appreciate it more. And Reimer's in here, too. He'd appreciate Toy Story 5 more. The three of us more than Tyvus, because we're all exclusively girl dads.
He wouldn't know what that's like.
I purposely wore my boy dad shirt that I'm going to take my hoodie off at the break.
And the reason why is because Jesse is more of the star of Toy Story 5 than Woody and Buzz.
Yeah.
Really?
Tyvus is just in here like, well, why don't we get Rambo on? That's what I need to show him. That's why I show him how to be a man.
Why aren't they blowing stuff up?
Yeah. It's got like on his little Hot Wheels or what's the little thing they call the little car that you get them? The Power Wheels. They have like little nuts hanging off the back of it and driving around. Like, powered by men. That's right.
The only all your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gouty gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. You're listening to the best of T-Bone and Tyvus. They're not here, but they're still here. You see, they never let you down. The Fan.
I saw this from CBS Sports, ranking the NFL's biggest offseason losers. Spoiler alert, no Browns, no Bengals on this list, in case you were wondering. So that's good. Here are their list of the top five worst NFL off seasons this year. Falcons at number 5, which, I mean, part of that is because of the James Pierce Jr. situation where he got
2 games suspended, right?
Yeah, he is. Did they announce that officially, that he's got the 2-game suspension?
I thought they did yesterday.
Did they? Okay.
The day before.
Yeah. So he's got 2-game suspension.
They dodged a bullet with that one.
Well, and there were, regardless of whether or not, like, the allegations, the very troubling allegations against him, regardless. But yeah, he's going to have a 2-game suspension there. But
is there hiring if Kevin Stefanski a part of this logic?
That's what I want to know.
It did say that he comes with question marks. So
they
factored that in. They also factored in that the situation in Atlanta is arguably worse at quarterback than it was in Cleveland, with Michael Penix Jr., who's coming off his third torn ACL, and Tua Tagovailoa. So that's where you also had to take in, the Dolphins had to take on a bunch of dead cap just to get rid of Tua. So it's not like he's exactly coming in with all the fanfare, although some people want to talk themselves into it. But yeah, so that's their number 5. Number 4, the Packers. They said had one of the worst off seasons of this NFL offseason.
Did they lose all their receivers? They
lost Romeo Doubs. They also lost at the linebacker spot Quay Walker, left tackle Rashid Walker in free agency.
Right.
They've lost players. Not exactly. They have a lot of injuries they're dealing with too. Micah Parsons still on the PUP list. He's probably not going to start the season off
for like 6 to 8 games or something like that.
I found it interesting that the Patriots were at number 3 only. Like, you have your head coach in a scandal that he's refusing to talk about, and
he already came out and said they did.
What did he say?
We did it.
No, he didn't.
That's pretty much what he said.
No, he didn't. He said
I'm going to counseling, and I'm sorry to my family.
I'm sorry. But he didn't say what.
You know what?
We know what, but he didn't say what. And all I'm saying is this is looming because all it takes is Diana Rossini to show up on Tom Rinaldi's, like, tell-all, you know, whatever show. And, like, that there will be an hour-long sit-down with Diana Rossini talking about everything she's been through with this. And it all comes right back to the forefront for the Patriots, right? So they can kind of pretend like this doesn't matter. They can pretend like this isn't a big deal. But I do feel like when that scandal fully gets unpacked, it's going to happen. We're inching closer and closer to the season. It will come out at some point, and it will be a distraction. So I do think that's a very, you know, something to keep an eye on. Also, one thing that they're pointing out, I know a lot of people pointed out about the Patriots this year, they had one of the easiest schedules, not like just last year in the NFL. They had one of the easiest schedules in the NFL since like the turn of this millennium. Since the year 2000, they had the 6th easiest schedule year's Patriots.
The Browns got that this year. Allegedly.
Good. Well, that'd be great. They're going to need it. But my point is, now they open up with a strength of schedule that is vastly different because of where they finished last year. Patriots are going to have a much tougher schedule. Will they be able to replicate 14-3 with a distracted head coach and all the other issues there that they have. So questions to be answered in New England. Number two on the list of worst NFL offseasons, the Cardinals, which I think you can just say, arguing with Jacoby Brissett about how much money they want to pay him. That's all you have to say.
I feel like the only big thing that they did question mark wise is the hiring of Mike LaFleur. Like, that's LaFleur.
That's the only thing?
That, to me, yeah.
Hey, I'm told when you hire the brother of someone who was good, that usually works out awesome at head coach. So I think that's a great move. I don't know why we're mad at that.
I mean, he's a first-time head coach. And you don't, nobody really knows. Like,
again, these are all good things. I've always heard these are good things.
This was the
all good things.
He was the OC for the Rams, right?
Yeah.
But everybody knows that Sean McVay's the play caller.
Well, right. Remember with the Rams, it's like, but then who were the Browns trying to get was another
Nathan Shieldhouse.
Who's also like kind of calling plays with the Rams.
He was
like
the quarterback coach, I believe.
What I'm saying is the Rams offense was so good. They have potentially like three head coaches just in the offensive, like Sean McVay, the actual head coach, and then a guy now who got a job as a head coach in Mike LaFleur, and then Nate Shieldhouse, who's like the next in line to get a head coach job. He could have had them, and he turned them down this year, right? The Browns would have made him a head coach.
I'm pretty sure if you brush shoulders with Sean McVay, you get a head coaching job.
That's exactly right. And then number one on the list for the worst offseason this year, they actually have the Jacksonville Jaguars because of all the stuff that they did in free agency where they pretty much whiffed.
I don't even know what they did.
Nothing. Exactly. It's the answer. They lost a bunch of guys. They lost Devin Lloyd, a linebacker, Travis Etienne, a running back, Greg Newsome, gone at corner, Andrew Wingard, all out. They only signed guys from the outside that are dudes that are who, what, and I'm not sure. Like, if I read all these guys' names, they're not guys you're familiar with. So, like, I'm just saying this is not a good offseason for them, but I don't know that the Jags had the worst one, but I'm just relieved the Browns aren't on the list.
They're number one as best.
Oh, I know. Everybody's saying they are. They've done not had the worst, but they had one of the best offseasons because of their draft. And then I'm not sure the rest of the reason.
I mean, when you trade the best defensive player in the league, you should
get the award for the best.
Jimmy Haslam on the road. We traded Miles, the best player. He traded Giannis. Hold my beer.
That's
Let me
right.
Trade Giannis,
because he owns the Bucks too. That's right. Spent the break educating Tyvus on what a yellow card and a red card is in soccer. Not aware of this. Tyvus didn't know that apparently when you get a red card, they put that right in your face. They go right to you. Red card means you're out of the game and you're missing the next game. And they go right to you with that red card. They put it right in your eyeball and say, here you go. Get out of here.
This is hilarious. This is hilarious. Is this this year's game?
They've had more red cards in this World Cup than they had all of last World Cup. Oh, they did. Yeah. I think they had three in like one game earlier. I think it maybe been South Africa. They had a bunch of them. But yeah, it's bad, but
eight red cards.
Yeah, it's been a lot of them this year in the World Cup. So I've got World Cup fever. I'm trying to convince my co-host to maybe pay attention to it. Dylan, have you watched?
I know 1 o'clock
today.
I'm
Portugal.
Going to go Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes, go watch him be old and bad. Have you watched any World Cup meaningful?
No.
I was trying to calculate how many games I've watched. I mean, I'm talking full games, sat on the couch or at a bar and watched it on purpose of this World Cup. I've at least watched, I'm going to say, solidly 15 to 18 games. I need to go back and actually mark them down, all the games I've watched.
I haven't even been accidentally watching games. Like, when I went to Firebirds the other day, the Germany game had pretty much just ended. Before that, I had went and celebrated Taco Tuesday at some Mexican restaurant. They had the Argentina pregame on, and then that game started at 9. I left the restaurant at 8:55. I was like, miss me with World Cup.
How long is
that's
the game?
That's incredible. It's incredible. 90 minutes?
No. Like, yeah, I understand that, but like.
With two halftime.
2 hours.
Two hours.
So
in
would
and
you
out.
Say this is the shortest sport?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the thing.
Because it used to be not baseball, but now I feel like baseball is like the shortest.
No, it's this makes baseball look like an 8 hour event. Like this is 2 hours. You're in and out. Because they don't even go to extra time in these. It's just either win, loss, or tie. And like, so they play 90 minutes, they do the stoppage time, they have like a 15 minute halftime, that's it. But yeah, I mean, legitimately every day of the last 2 weeks, I've sat down and watched at least two games. So I have to be over 20 games. Like, I at least have watched 20 games. And some days I watched like three or more. So yeah, I'm like Jacob Reimer, who's in here helping out today, like Ryan Time, how you are with college basketball, that's how I am with this. Like, I cannot, this is my March Madness, except it's once every 4 years. So it's, I could have taken time off. I didn't, because all of the games are when I'm off anyway. So I'm just I'm living in World Cup land right now.
I have been intrigued because I've been like seeing some March Madness comparisons.
Oh, like, it's, yeah, I mean, that's what it is for soccer fans.
Yeah.
It's the best time of year for us. Well, it's the best time of every 4 years.
And what, is it Cape Verde?
Cape Verde, yeah, Cape Verde.
When they tied Spain, like yeah. Everyone was saying, like that was Purdue and Fairleigh Dickinson type level. I was oh, okay.
Yeah.
See? That's awesome.
That's right. Get pumped for that 0-0 draw.
Hey, man. Sorry that not everybody can understand the nuances of... Yeah, you have to actually watch the game as opposed to being like, oh, what's the score? Oh, it's 0-0. I guess nothing happened. You watch the game, you see a lot of stuff
happen.
That's
kind of how you look at
it. You see lots of stuff happen.
Nothing happened.
No, but when you watch like a football game, do you need to see the final score to know who's winning the... Like, who's playing well? You can watch the game and determine who's playing well 9 times out. Now, there might be a pick or something that changes the outcome of the game, but you can tell who's played better in a game when you watch a football game.
Well, and the goalie for that game was... Cape Verde's goalie is 40 years old.
Yeah.
If that says anything about how impressive that 0-0 draw was.
So you're telling me I can make a comeback is what you're
saying. There you go. Exactly.
Sure.
Right.
So let me ask you this, Bone. Browns-Jags, week one.
Mm-hmm.
They play to a nice 0-0 tie. Are you saying
it wouldn't be that?
That was great football that got played.
Hang on.
You don't understand. It's the nuance of defense that it takes to go 0-0 for a whole regulation and overtime in the NFL.
I want to be clear. What you're comparing. No. This is a dumb comparison.
Why?
It is. I'll tell you why. Let me tell you. No, because what you're comparing are two salary capped teams who play in the same league. Yes, if they go to 0-0, that's not going to be any fun. But when you're watching equivalent of a MAC team playing the Patriots and they go to like a 3-3 or 6-6 type of game where they just kick a couple field goals, but no one really scores a touchdown. That would be, would we not agree that if like Akron went and played the Patriots to a tie, we would all say, holy cow, how did they do that?
Yeah, but I wouldn't act like it was super interesting either.
That's you're fair. Out of, no, you're out fair. Of your mind.
That's fair.
You're telling me if Akron from the MAC went and played an NFL team for somehow they set this game up, and then you watch that game and Akron kind of looked like they might even win the game and then they didn't. You're telling me you wouldn't be locked in on the fact that the Patriots, Drake May's throwing picks left and right, but they can't, then Akron can't score.
Akron's throwing picks left and right too.
Yes, but you would be saying Akron is hanging with the Patriots
for 4 quarters.
As a former
defensive player, I would tell you it would be amazing for me.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, if you can't acknowledge, like, yeah, I agree with you. If it's like two powerhouse teams, like, let's say Spain and France are both really good. If they play to a 0-0 draw, yeah, that sucks. But like, if it's a tiny little team and a huge team playing like that, that's the equivalent. Cape Verde is like not even a country in 1974. They became a country in 1975. They didn't even try to qualify for the World Cup until like the early 2000s. And now they went toe-to-toe with Spain and Uruguay. Like, that's pretty impressive. But anyway, I get ties are not for everyone. I'm on an island by myself.
If they have to win their next game to make it to the...
Yeah, but they have I'm trying to remember who they play next, but they play a team that they could advance out of this group, which is insane. Like, that would be an upset of all upsets if they do that.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com.
Common Man and Tim
Guy Show.
I don't know if I've gotten a single email from my parents.
That's the most disappointed that your parents can be in you. You bypass a call and a text.
The Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by CareSource.
Weeknights at 6 on The Fan. This is the best of T-Bone and Tybus. Yes, this is pre-recorded, but Tybus is so dedicated, he's still here running the board. The Fan. The Buckeyes, the Big Ten, and the rest of college football. We tackle it all in The Breakdown with Joshua Perry.
Sponsored by The Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact The Roofing Guys at TheRoofingGuys.com.
Joining us now on the Bryant... What? That's who? The Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He is Joshua Perry, former Buckeye, former NFL player, former fill-in host of this show up until Friday. Did 3 weeks here filling in for Tyvus. Joshua, how's it feel to not get up and be working at 6 a.m.?
I mean, I still got up.
There you go.
Hit the gym this morning, so I was feeling pretty good. Got in the YouTube chat too, which different perspective, not being on the other side with the mic on, but glad to be joining you guys. Before I get to roasting Tyvus, which he crazy tried to turn his slow time into some sort of victory. Talk about that in a sec. The Wyndham Clark thing is super interesting to me because I am team, why does that need to be at everything? It's Father's Day. What if there are other kids involved? Do you think everybody's dad was there who could have been there? I think it was fine that he would or would not have been there. It's his choice completely.
Yeah, his son, Hilton Honors, was unfortunately not able, said, Dad, can you join me? Not Wyndham. You come with me in Doubletree, we're going to go make cookies. Like, it's the U.S. Open, though, Joshua. That's the thing is, he flew in when he saw that his son had a 7-shot lead and was like, oh, I guess I could show up for this loser. I guess, fine. You're playing a little golf thing. Like, it feels very much like...
What makes you think he didn't have this plan? Because if you just buy a late ticket like that, I mean,
what if his son but if his son doesn't make the cut, then do you think he's getting on that plane? No, he's not flying.
What if he had other things to do today that just got canceled? You know, he had plans, you know, he had meetings or whatever the case was.
I tried to say all this
going on or whatever.
This is ridiculous.
That happened, and then they were like, oh, you know what? Actually, we got to kick that down the road. And he was like, oh man, great opportunity for me to go see my son be victorious. Like,
all right.
Don't know what happened.
I get what you're saying. Like my oldest daughter does theater, right? So like if she ever made it on Broadway, like her first performance, we're going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. And if she opens up a new
show.
No, because it's. No, of course not. I agree with you, Joshua. I agree with you. I agree with you. But if she's like, hey, Dad, I know it's been a few years, but I'm opening up a new production of Hello, Dolly, and I'd love for you to be there. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I got a meeting on Monday. I don't think I can make that. This is a U.S. Open. There's only a few majors a year. You can't make it out for those, especially his son's been winning. Like, it feels very odd that he wouldn't show up for this.
Made it out there? Like, every father that could have made it, do you think they all made it out there?
No, but I think that's something that is odd. That's a skill issue for them. If you're not there for your guy, what else are you doing? Your kid's making money as a golfer. You can't fly out to join him. I don't care what job you have. Go see your son.
With their other children that weren't so selfish to work on Father's Day.
I'm saying.
What are we talking about?
I got a question for you, Josh. Out of curiosity, let's say Lil James decides he wants to play football, but you work in the fall. How are you going to see him play?
It's the thing I think about all the time. Like, you know, if I'm still doing my Saturday deal and he's a college football player, it's going to be a little bit tough to get to all of them. Now, I will make what I can make, but, you know, these are decisions, right? Like, bills still got to be paid around here. Love you to death. Like, I want to support you. I'll watch tape with you all week long. But, you know, like, Saturday is that day. It's there are a lot of considerations that have to be made in these situations.
I don't know. I just feel like Wyndham, someone who's named Wyndham, dad's probably not like, sorry, man, I got to pick up a shift at the factory. You know how it is. The boss is really on my ass. Like, it feels like he might have a financial planner who's put him in a spot where he could say, hey, you could skip a couple days of work.
He just had open heart surgery.
When?
2 years ago.
That's not just. That's 2 years. Whatever.
Wait, you know the recovery process for it?
I know it's a long time, but he can't get on a plane? He got on a plane. It wasn't like he said,
he had his little
Thursday, you'd be in
surgery, that little itty bitty surgery he had.
That's not what I'm saying. if he said, I can't fly out there because of my open heart surgery, fine. He flew out there on Sunday. You could have flown out on Thursday. He's a front-running dad. That's what I'm saying. He's only there because the kid is getting the glory. Thursday. That's why he came out. Be there for all the days.
You might as well go out for the practice rounds, too. I mean, like, you're taking up all dad's time.
I agree. Be a good dad. That's what I'm saying. He's getting all the love for being a great father, for coming out when his son's about to win a major trophy. Yeah, good job.
So, Josh, I'm giving you that credit. So, Josh, obviously, I ran my 40 on Saturday. If you was to put your hand in the ground today, would you get under 5 seconds?
I'd like to say I would, but I'm not doing that. It's a crazy thing to even try to do in the first place. And I think what's even crazier, number one, $1,000 on the line, you pissed down your leg. So congratulations to you. Secondly, the aftermath and trying to flip this into a positive experience. I'm 50 pounds heavier and I didn't even train. You told us what you told us in the lead up. You said you were going to run your combine time. You missed by a mile, and I think the timer was
missed by a mile.
4/10. That's a mile.
4/10 of a second is a mile. That's like a flick of the button.
That is an eternity when it comes to sprinters, especially that short of a distance. Neither here nor there. I also think the timer was very generous. Okay, because that to me, if you watch the tape, it looked like a 5-second run to me.
Well, what did you do on the second one that you did, Tyvus? Just to kind of. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think I remember.
What was it?
I don't think it was four.
Oh, well.
There was a five on it.
There it is.
Just saying, we took the best time. I think the second one.
That second time might have been a little bit more accurate than the first one, if you ask me.
Well, nobody asked you.
Yes, you did. We called Joshua Perry on this segment to ask him questions. You did ask him. That's actually factually correct.
Well, the good news is we got 4-8.
4-8. You got 4-8 out of it somewhere.
That's like me at the combine. At the combine, I ran 4-4. I ran 4-4 my first run and 4-5 the second run. Nobody talks about the 4-5 second run because you take the fastest time.
This. Right. But 5 and up, we round up. So it was really a 4-9, just like that 4-4-6.
Don't do round this. Up. That was man, you, boy, you are a professional hater. You got around these guys for 3 weeks, and they really have gotten you to be a hater.
This is just who I am.
You know what it sounds? It sounds like to me, Josh. It sounds like you're a little jealous. I think deep down you wanted me to run a 5-flat, and the fact that I ran 4 anything bothers you because it's like. Dang, I know I can't do that. Like, I feel like that's where you at.
I'm not trying to do that.
I feel like, you know how Bo Bishop says a man got to know his limitations? I think you know, like, I would never run a 4-8 in my condition today.
Ty, can you still dunk a basketball?
Yeah.
I flushed one this morning at the YMCA. Felt good.
What does that have to do? I don't understand what that has to do with running under a 5-second 40.
And I was just standing there too. I didn't even take the run up. It was just 2-foot yam.
I'm trying to figure out what that has to do. Why are we switching from basketball to from running to basketball?
Because I still got it is what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm not
going to do that.
Oh, Josh, let me ask you this. What did you run at the combine? What did you run?
4-6-8, I believe.
I'll how about this? I'll put $1,000 that you wrote run that 4-6-8. How about that? I make it even better. I put $5,000 that you wrote run that 4-6-8.
I know I'm not gonna do it, Tyvus. It's not the point. That is exactly the point.
Let's see. I like how you're already betting Baby Tsunami's college fund that has just barely had time to even start. And you're already like, no, we're betting that. We're betting that on a run.
Betting the Trump account.
All right, JP. Thanks for the last 3 weeks. We appreciate it. We'll have you on. I know you're doing some filling stuff this week, right? When are you on next?
Today.
Which show?
At noon.
There you go.
Rothman and Ice.
There you go. Perfect. So you can hear Joshua Perry there, and of course every Monday right here at 8:30. Thank you, JP. Have a good rest of your day. All right, man. And watch some World Cup. All right, damn it. Care. Stop watching Bar Rescue. Stop watching Bar Rescue.
I don't think I can help you there.
That's fine. I'm trying to get people to watch the World Cup because apparently a lot of other people are. People at the station are not, but I am apparently.
Nobody's interested.
I'm apparently not around here.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Hey, it's Anthony Ross.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
A thing that's like, this will make a meal for a family. It's talking like a family of four, and I'm in the family. So I count as like three right off the bat.
Mornings on The Fan. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. It's the best of T-Bone and Tybus. I know what you're thinking. This is so good you can't believe it's pre-recorded. But it is. So if a comment hits and we don't respond, that's why. The Fan.
Texas is getting its first White Castle. And I love White Castle. White Castle's great. I don't eat there that often, though. And I'm saying I would be willing to trade Texas. White Castle, straight up, for Whataburger. You can have White Castle. You can have all of them, as a matter of fact. And we'll take your Whataburgers and bring them up here. I would do that trade. I don't think they would. They would probably say, we're going to need a first-round pick of something. Or, like, future option on a player. We're going to need something else.
The first time I went out to, like, try In-N-Out and try Whataburger and all these different places, I always compared them to Sonic.
Okay.
And? It's like the burger is, like, if you went to Sonic, you essentially had...
Do you like the burger at Sonic or
it's
no?
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I like the Whataburger. And I don't mind a Sonic burger, but... Yeah, I said I would make that trade in a second. I said I would trade Wendy's for Whataburger. And I love Wendy's.
But not Taco Bell.
Not Taco Bell.
What about Taco Bell for Cookout? He got his sit back.
That's a tough one. I really love Cookout because you can get like a chicken quesadilla there. You can get tacos there. And you can get all the other stuff.
And then obviously their world famous milkshakes.
Their milkshakes are unbelievable. Dude.
You got to get back to me on that one.
They don't have Baja Blast. Sorry. I'm not making the trade for that reason. But Montana 808 Beats in the chat said the worst fast food chain by far, and it's not even close. Now, reminder, this is Hot Take Tuesday. The worst fast food chain by far, and it's not close. That's McDonald's. That place can disappear forever. Wow.
Yeah, McDonald's is just convenient. It's not that great.
Okay. What are we doing here?
It's not.
What are we doing? I acknowledge that it's not my favorite place to go. I do go other places first. I will go to McDonald's. I like McDonald's. But it does feel a little bit like the conversation that's happening around Ohio State right now. They're like, actually, Jeremiah Smith's not as good a route runner as you think he is. Actually, I don't know if he's the best. It's like you just had too much time to look at greatness, and now you're picking it apart. That's stupid. Let's not do that, okay?
I mean, I think it's just one of those things that everybody grew up kind of eating it, and it's just
the branding's
always
good.
Yeah, it's always been a thing. Okay, like, is it the best fast food?
Who has the best French fries in
McDonald's.
Fast food?
No, that's a lie. Rallies.
Okay,
I agree
top
with that.
Top three.
But here's the thing: top three
McDonald's fries.
Rallies. Yes, McDonald's fries are good if you get them fresh. Like, why is that a caveat? Just give me fresh fries every single time.
That's true. I agree with that. Like, it shouldn't be a question. Rallies. I'll tell you this. When I go to Arby's, I've never had cold Arby's fries to that point.
I mean, yesterday I went to Arby's and I had to wait 10 minutes for them, but at least they were hot.
Yeah, right.
What did you get?
Curly fries.
That's it?
You know that's not all I got.
No.
That's why I'm asking. What was the main entree?
They have this chicken bacon Swiss sandwich that's really been behind.
Chicken bacon
Swiss.
Yes. You never had the chicken bacon Swiss at Arby's? I've been eating that since junior high. Like, that thing's been around. It's not new.
I'm more of the buffalo chicken sandwich.
Okay, they have that at Arby's? I never see it. I get roast beef or I get that chicken bacon Swiss. Those are the two things I get.
I haven't had roast beef.
I didn't know they did a buffalo chicken sandwich there. All right. See, I got to try
it.
It's
actually pretty good, too. Is it?
How do you feel about a Jamocha shake?
They're fine.
I
go there more for the mango lemonade.
Of course you do. Because you love lemonade. That's right.
Everyone knows you go to Arby's for the lemonade, but that's just.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's on the map for. Of course lemonade, it is. Everybody knows that.
Now, they got the one where you got to stir it with the straw before you drink it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because they use a little syrup stuff.
Here are from EA Sports the top 10 toughest places to play in college football. They actually did a top 25, but I won't bore you with for what it's worth, Mississippi State, number 25, with their stupid cowbells. All right, whatever. But here's the top 10. Texas A&M Kyle Field, number 10. Clemson Memorial Stadium, number 9. Tennessee Neyland Stadium at number 8. Not Neyland North, Neyland Stadium. Florida, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium at 7. Miss me with that. When they're good, but that, when does that happen? Oregon at 6 with Autzen Stadium. 5 is Bryant-Denny Stadium. Not Bryant-Denny Stadium, which is what I sometimes want to call that place for Alabama. Georgia at 4 with Sanford Stadium. Penn State, Beaver Stadium, number 3. The Ohio State University, Ohio Stadium, number 2, the Shoe. And number 1, Tiger Stadium at LSU.
I want to go to an LSU game just to experience it.
Oh, don't misunderstand me when I'm about to, crap on some of these other places. But, like, I would go to almost all these stadiums. I've been to Alabama, but not for a game. We just were driving through, and we went to Tuscaloosa. Like, pulling up to that stadium, it's incredible seeing how big all of these stadiums are. Like, we know Ohio Stadium is huge, right? When you go up to that, but I'm used to it. I've been to that place a million times. Going up to seeing Bryant-Denny Stadium for the first time, I was like floored at how gigantic it is.
Mm.
And I'd say, I'm sure it would be the same thing if I went to Tiger Stadium at LSU or if I went out to Autzen Stadium. How did that compare when you went out to Autzen, when you went out to Oregon? What was that like?
Well, when I was doing the tailgate show, it was a noon kick. Well, wasn't it? No, it wasn't a noon kickoff because we was on the West Coast. It was a later time, but we were sitting there doing our set, and I smelled a little bit of ganja in the air.
Oh, in Oregon?
I was like, man, in Oregon? Before the game?
In Oregon, on a college campus?
Like, man.
Are you kidding me?
I was thrown off. thrown off by it.
You were surprised by this?
I was a little bit. But the atmosphere was great. You know, obviously having the duck due to he come out on a motorcycle and all of that.
That's your favorite mascot.
That's right.
He's one of the best in the Big Ten.
No, you said he was the best.
Yeah, you said that to Brutus's face, by the way.
No, when Brutus came in, he cowered.
Oh, I forgot you did. I said they're 1A and 1B.
Okay.
Who's 1A?
Brutus.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to...
What A and what B?
You said anything, if you said anything else,
that's loser talk.
That's what that would be.
Anyways,
yeah,
I like Austin Stadium a lot, though. I think that they do. It was very loud. Washington also got a really loud stadium as well.
Yeah. For what it's worth, they had Michigan at 12. They had Texas at 13. I'm surprised Texas is that low too.
Wolverine Stadium is not loud. I'm sorry.
But you played in it. Yeah, I mean, right. I've been up there for other things.
I've heard,
not
I've heard
football
it very
games.
Quiet. Very quiet when I was there.
Yeah, you may not have the best perspective on it, because when you went in there, you guys silenced them pretty quick. Although, I mean, all right, when you made that pick that he just played, I mean, it was loud for that play, wasn't it? Or did you even pay attention? You're just zoned in. You're locked in on everything else.
See, the thing about crowds when you play is that you really don't. I don't hear it. Like, where you notice that if it's loud or not is the communication. If Vine is standing right where you are and I'm talking to Vine and he can't hear me, and I have to, like, do signals to him, that's a loud stadium.
Okay.
And it typically is like that on third downs.
Do you think about defense. That? Do you, like, here's the thing, though. I think as fans, when we're yelling and we see a player on the field and they have to, like, they're having communication issues, are they going, like, wow, I'm terrified to be here? Or are you just, like, annoyed? Like, damn it, why can't you understand what I'm saying? Like,
that's why
I would
you
think
come
in the moment,
hand signals.
Right. In the moment, you're probably not like, oh, no, I'm intimidated. My knees are shaking. Like, you're not probably intimidated. Most good players are not intimidated by
that. No, I'm not. No. Okay. When it's loud, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about what they do. As a defensive player, I'm thinking about what they doing on offense and what play I'm about to try to jump to get us out. Because, it's like I said, it's probably third down if it's at our. If we're at home, it's a third down play. If we're away, it's whatever. They quiet on offense for them. So
I'm told if the scoreboard is made slightly bigger, we'll be number one. And if we can get a few more drones, light shows, DJs, and fireworks, this will be the number one stadium in the country.
The two video boards will help.
Two?
Yes.
Try 20. That's what we need. That'll fix it. That and more luxury seating. That will get us to number one, I'm quite sure. That'll do the job.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.